The Italian government is taking the sting out of consumers' skyrocketing energy bills. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Lawmakers in Italy are working on urgent legislation to put $5.7 billion toward helping families and businesses pay their gas and electricity bills. That's according to a statement released this morning by Matteo Salvini, head of the country's co-ruling League Party. Crude oil prices are back above $90 a barrel, and analysts have warned prices could go even higher if geopolitical tensions intensify or if supplies are disrupted due to conflict. But there's a stark difference between how companies and households are affected by the energy crisis. The boss of energy giant BP says higher prices have been a, quote, cash machine for his company. The BBC's Darshini David has been digging into BP's fourth quarter earnings, which showed the company made its highest profit in 8 years.
Profits at BP are at their highest for 8 years, and that means if you look at the last 3 months alone, profits then were over 30 times higher than they were in the same period a year ago. But when you look at that kind of swing, you can see exactly how reliant the likes of BP are on what's happening to those global commodity prices. So it's really eye-catching at a time when, quite frankly, people are buckling under the weight of these higher energy bills, you know, across the world. And the question is it a time for policymakers to start thinking about taking some of that money out of their pockets and putting it back into those of energy users, windfall taxes and things like that?
So just explain what it is and how it would work.
A windfall tax is what it sounds like. You know, you've had an unexpected gain. You know, as far as BP's concerned, it's sat there and watched the oil come out and just got a higher price for it. It's a way of government sort of raiding that piggy bank, so to speak. But there are a few issues. First, it can deter investment in other areas. And when we're talking about the likes of BP, it's gone from, what, investing about 3% of its budget in lower carbon technologies. It's eyeing maybe 30 or more percent of its budget on that form of energy. So some are saying don't mess with the likes of BP's profits. On the other hand, it's also giving back over $1 billion to shareholders at the moment. Many are questioning, if you've got that kind of money to give away, surely it's time to think about those who are struggling at the same time. Some, in some cases, having to choose now between heating their homes and eating. It's a pretty desperate situation.
The BBC's Darshini David. Thanks for breaking this down.
Thank you.
Checking the numbers now. Global stock markets are on the move higher, with benchmarks here in Europe up in the 0.2% to 1.2% range. The euro, though, is under pressure for the second day in a row. That's after European Central Bank Chief Christine Lagarde said a big tightening of monetary policy in the eurozone isn't necessary because policymakers see inflation currently at a record 5.1%, settling out near the 2% target. Well, the European Union has just taken the wraps off a massive new subsidy program for semiconductor chip manufacturing. Tens of billions of dollars in investment will be aimed at reducing the bloc's dependence on the U.S. and Asia for critical components used in phones, laptops and vehicles. The BBC's David Willis has more on that story.
The EU Chips Act aims to reduce the European Union's dependence on foreign suppliers of semiconductors. The European Industry Commissioner Thea Britton has said that he wants the EU to be a net exporter of semiconductors in much the same way that it currently is in terms of vaccines. Intel, the giant US manufacturer, has said it's looking to invest about $100 billion in two chip manufacturing parts in Europe in the next decade. Competition is now so fierce that the US has already unveiled an initiative of its own, the Chips for America Act, and it's allocating $50 billion as part of its drive to compete with China on that front.
That's the BBC's David Willis reporting there. Indian microblogging app Koo, spelled K-O-O, is expecting to surpass Twitter's 25 million user base in India this year. The app rose from relative obscurity to sudden prominence last year as a result of tensions between the Indian government and Twitter. As the BBC's Nikhil Anamdar reports, its creators have global ambitions.
The app came into the spotlight last year when politicians from India's ruling party took to promoting it as a nationalist alternative amid a long tussle with Twitter. It has since been downloaded 20 million times, which is just a start, Koo's co-founder Mayank Bedewadkar told me in his office in Bengaluru.
We wanted this to become the place which houses the voices of India and later the voices of the world. We will more than double the number of users we have on the platform today.
India's pushback against global tech and push towards greater digital sovereignty will help Koo's case, say analysts. But widely perceived as an echo chamber of right-wing voices, anti-Muslim hate and government propaganda, The jury is still out on whether it can emerge as a real alternative to Twitter.
One other use case, of course, which is a learning platform.
Here's tech expert Nikhil Pahwa.
Unless Scoob gets people of all political hues on its platform, I think it's going to struggle to be a platform where more and more users flock.
The app allows people to coo in 10 languages currently. The plan is to at least double those this year. Its focus on the non-English speaking user makes it globally relevant, says Mayank.
80% of the world does not speak in English. So all these become very lucrative markets for us.
Coup's success in Nigeria last year after Twitter was banned there has given the platform the much-needed confidence to make these bold strides. In Bengaluru, I'm the BBC's Nikhil Anandar for Marketplace.
And finally, a C-suite shakeup could be coming to exercise bike maker Peloton. The Wall Street Journal reporting this morning the company's boss, John Foley, is stepping down from the helm and will become executive chairman of the company. That, the paper reports, comes as the company embarks on a cost-cutting drive amid falling profits. Peloton shares at the moment are down 3.7% ahead of the opening bell on Wall Street. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdal. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.